welcome to NZ Vegan Podcast episode, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Happy New Year 2020. It's sort of been a tradition for me to do a podcast every new year because I did my very first podcast on New Year's Day of 2009, I think it was. So it's not New Year's Day. I'm a day or two out. It's actually in New Zealand. It's January 3rd. But never mind. It's my New Year's podcast. And I just want to keep the tradition up and keep the ball rolling. You kind of, when you lose momentum doing things, advocacy or anything like that, you can, sometimes you can lose it. That's what I did a bit with my Spanish podcast, but I'm trying to get back into that one as well, although it's quite difficult because the longer I live in New Zealand, the less I'm able to speak Spanish. But I'm going to do one today because I try to do a Spanish one every New Year as well, because I did a Spanish one when I did my first one as well. I started them both together. I've done about three times as many English ones as Spanish ones or more, but what are you going to do? It's not my native language and I never get to speak it anymore. So anyway, I don't really have, you know, much new to say. It's sort of continuing on from my last podcast because it's just, you know, I've kind of just been sort of coming to this realization, you know, everything's so different now than it was 10 years ago or 11 years ago now, isn't it? Everything's so different because anyone who's living in a Western country like I am anyway, things are very, very different. When I first came to New Zealand, I think we were lucky if there were two vegan restaurants in the entire country. There was one in Auckland that just opened coincidentally after I moved. I mean, it was, they were going to open anyway. And I just happened to be here for that, which was quite cool. And they pretty much opened, and they were called the Golden Age and they were part of Loving Hut, franchise, I guess you could call it, but they didn't call themselves Loving Hut. They're not there anymore because the owner left and the new owner, it wasn't that easy to sort of just pick up. But anyway, now, and there was, I mean, people didn't know what vegan was. I mean, I started doing my street stall in November of 2009. No, sorry, August 2009 or September, I don't know, sometime like August or September 2009. I think it was September maybe. And, you know, people didn't know what vegan is. There was one vegan restaurant, and I believe the Vegan Buffet, which is this restaurant in Hamilton, New Zealand, which is a city that's about 2 hours south of Auckland, that apparently, I believe that was already there as well. So there was a vegan restaurant in existence in the country. But anyone who lives in New Zealand now, like anyone who lives in America or England, they've already had all of this sort of vegan restaurants and, you know, vegan shoe stores. I mean, I was in New York for a couple of months after I went vegan, because I went vegan right before I left the country, and there was, you know, vegan wine sections, there was a vegan shoe store called Moose Shoes, I believe it was. I mean, so that those cities, maybe when it first started happening, I don't know when it was, maybe it was in the 80s or something like that, maybe can relate back then, but now they can't relate. But to me as a New Zealander, coming from where it was 11 years ago and where it is now, it's, the difference is phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's just really amazing. In terms of, okay, I don't want to overblow things. In terms of vegan food availability in restaurants, the amount of vegan restaurants opening, not just in Auckland or Wellington or Christchurch or Hamilton or the other big centres, but in smaller towns, you know, up north or out, you know, Palmerston North, which is actually not a town, it's a big city, but just the word in the animal free, you know, shoes and clothing. There's a vegan shoe store in Auckland. And so it has been really palpable and obvious that this is taking hold here. There's billboards all over the city at the moment for a vegan trumpet by Tip Top. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about, but people from England and maybe probably Australia even, like Melbourne, and definitely people from America as well, and probably Canada, and probably, I don't know, Italy or Europe, I don't know. They're probably like, yeah, yeah, whatever, was a big deal, but it is a big deal. But what I'm finding as a person who is living there, and I was a new vegan. I only went vegan in 2007, at the end of 2007. So when I came to New Zealand in 2008, I was a very new vegan. At the beginning, I went vegan at the end of 2007, and I came to New Zealand in the beginning of 2008. I was a vegan of a couple of 3-4 months. And so I'm going through the last 11 or whatever, 12 years of veganism, watching this happen coincidentally in my country, this stuff happening. So, and it's very, very tempting for the vegans here and any new vegans here, and in any other places in the world where it's starting to happen as well. And it's not these long established places like England or America, and they're watching this happen, and they're all like, oh yeah, it's happening, it's happening. But I think the thing that we really, really have to focus on, us animal rights advocates, don't forget, I mean, that's what I am. I'm an animal rights advocate. I don't want to lose sight of that, and I don't want other animal rights or people who call themselves animal rights advocates to lose sight of that, but they do. It's very easy to do, because so when I first started, I don't want to be boring, history lesson, no, all I'm trying to say is, like, going on from my last podcast, I talked about this, bringing back to the moral personhood of animals, and what I was trying to articulate was something that I was experiencing, that I found myself doing, that I found lots of, I mean, definitely, if you look in New Zealand, we've got a vegan society now. When I first, don't get too excited, okay, I'm going to tell you about it, but when I first came back, there was not one, and I googled it, and there had been one for maybe 6 months or something like that, and then they abandoned the entire thing. There was a vegetarian society, very long established, and of course there was SAFE, the New Zealand welfarist group. And then during the first couple of years of me, of living here as a vegan, well, when I came back, these people formed the New Zealand, another New Zealand Vegan Society was formed. And, they were all welfarists, of course, and, they remain so to this day. And, but the thing is that there's this big, big, big recognition, and this is even in America, I think, in Canada, and maybe Britain already had it, that the dietary bodies, the official governmental people who set the guidelines for nutrition, have been forced, or have decided to, or have found enough research that they're happy enough to state unequivocally that vegan diets are healthy from birth to death. That includes pregnancy, that includes children in the womb until they're born, until, you know, growing up, and then they also do acknowledge that they reverse, well, that, you know, there's less instance of heart disease and blah blah blah, and that's been officially put in the Canadian and American Dietetic Association guidelines. That happened since I went vegan. So that hadn't happened yet, and it happened in the last 10 years. And then there's these movies called What the Health and stuff. And I have to say, another reason why I've got something to talk about in this podcast is I just finally watched The Game Changers on Netflix. The Game Changers is a documentary about athletes who eat a vegan diet. And it was actually, I mean, I'm not going to call them vegans, because we have to remember that veganism is not a diet, and there are so many non-vegans who eat a vegan diet. There are so many. And when you look at The okay, so What the Health, I loved it though. I mean, not What the Health, I haven't seen that, and I wasn't even gonna watch the Game Changers. I'm like, I don't need to watch this, I don't care, you know, I don't need to. I'm vegan, I'm gonna stay vegan. I know it's healthy because my health has improved, but whatever. I mean, yeah, I don't need to know. But it was actually really cool because I learned a lot, and it made me feel even better about my diet, and it was really quite refreshing to see them unequivocally stating the things that they state. So I do recommend watching The Game Changers, but just beware, it's obviously only about diet. There's almost no mention of the victims, none. They show a little bit of footage which is upsetting. There's no graphic slaughter footage. There is footage of animals in cages, and there is footage of farms, you know, there's footage of animals who are being farmed in their cages, pigs, and there's footage of a barn, which is probably a quote free-range barn of chickens. So it's not nice, but that's a very small part of the film, and I can't even remember the context, but it certainly wasn't, oh, that was about the environment. They didn't even talk about the animals. And then at the end, which I found shocking, just because of the stuff that they'd shown, like the blood tests that they'd shown, even like one non-vegan meal and the fat in the blood and the effect of the inflammatory response and all of the stuff. You'll have to watch the documentary. And then they still went reducetarian at the end. Like, oh, you can't, you know, and in a way I understand. I mean, these are people it's like, because this whole dietary movement is all about health, and it's about behavior change, but not morality, no mention of the victims, then they're like, yeah, you know, you can't do it all at once. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the movie. Apparently he eats, I mean, I don't know if he eats a vegan diet, but I think he, from the movie, it seems, or the documentary, it seems that he eats predominantly a vegan diet, or maybe he does eat a vegan diet now, I don't know. It was very satisfying, though, watching all these athletes kick ass on their vegan diets, I have to say. But at the end, I mean, they showed Arnold saying, you know, you can't say to someone, stop eating meat. And there was a big focus on meat, but they did mention a vegan diet. So that's another thing. But anyway, it's not an animal rights documentary, okay? But do watch it because I was quite shocked. I actually didn't know a lot of the stuff. So I felt really good. I went to Pilates and there's this thing, I can't even remember what it's called. I've got a terrible memory and I just always misquote stuff. It's not the epithelium, but it's something like that. And it's where the red blood goes around the muscles or something. And it opens up and is really good when you eat vegan food. And then it all constricts and everything when you don't, you know, they've done the scientific stuff. And I was doing my Pilates and kicking ass and was like, yeah, my vegan diet. So it was really cool. But what I'm trying to say is, oh my gosh, there's just, how am I going to articulate this? Okay, so anyone listening to this podcast, if you're an abolitionist, you already agree. And you're just like nodding or just thinking, yeah, I know this already. But just on the off chance that there's like a new vegan or especially someone in New Zealand, because that's where I am, and I really, really strongly believe in local advocacy. I mean, I believe in all advocacy, but just, okay, what am I trying to say? Let me try very hard to keep this clear and succinct. So, I'm speaking from a New Zealand perspective. So if you don't live in New Zealand, I'm sorry. If you do live in New Zealand and by some miracle you listen to this podcast, because I don't really know how many New Zealand people listen to my podcast. It never used to be very many at all. I knew of like two or three. And most of the people who listen to my podcast were abolitionists who are overseas, because that's where most of the abolitionists are. But if you do live in New Zealand and you've gone vegan recently, especially if you've gone vegan really recently, you've gone vegan at a time where this is just the norm. Like, there is vegan restaurants everywhere. There is Trumpet, which is a Tip Top, which is a non-vegan ice cream company. Tip Top have released a vegan Trumpet. And I was talking to Will, and we were laughing because, you know, all these people who are like, you can't say vegan. Well, maybe people don't do that anymore. I don't know. Does that still happen? But I mean, Tip Top, no, damn darn well, you can say vegan. They've got it on their billboards. And he was pointing out, Will pointed out to me that the word vegan was even bigger than the word gluten free. I mean, this is not an animal rights company. This is a marketing company. They make money off of what they sell. They sell non-vegan products, and they have for years. They're very long established. Tip Top is a very long established dairy ice cream business. But they've got this vegan trumpet, and the billboards are everywhere. They're huge. I mean, the big proper billboards, and they say vegan trumpet and then gluten free in smaller letters. So I'm like, they get it. They're not afraid to use the word. But wow, I'm getting off on another tangent. What was I coming back to? Oh, right. So let's say you've just gone vegan and you live in New Zealand, or you went vegan a few years ago, maybe. What I really, I mean, if you are vegan, like for the animals, I'm not talking about people who eat a vegan diet, you know, for their health, and who aren't vegan, who, and just for clarity's sake, in case there's by some little chance there's someone listening who's not an abolitionist vegan, because I do meet people who don't realize this. Veganism is not a diet. It is more than diet. It is about the moral personhood of animals. That the moral personhood of animals is what I learned from the abolitionist approach to animal rights. Gary Francione's work, The Abolitionist, the theory of the abolitionist approach to animal rights. That is what I woke up to. But when you look at even Donald Watson, who coined the term vegan, or anyone from back in those days, that's what it's about. They don't use that phrase exactly, but it's about them. And yes, they do mention the environment. Yes, they do mention health, but it's about the animals. Okay, that is why they went vegan, everybody. They went vegan because of the animals, because of the animals. And because of their sense of justice and their realization that animals are moral persons. Maybe they didn't use that phrase, maybe they did, I don't know. But the bottom line is they're sentient. They have a right not to be used as property. They have a right not to be bred into existence in order to be slaughtered. And that is what veganism is about. And it just so happens, obviously, that vegans eat a vegan diet because of our concern for animals. Our moral concern, we include them in our moral concern. We include them in our sense of justice that we feel to other living beings. The sense of justice that tells us it is wrong to violate the fundamental rights or even the lesser rights of another sentient being. And the only difference between us and everybody else who's like that, which is the majority of people on the planet, not all, I mean, there are some people who have, you know, have no, I don't know what's wrong with them, but you know, there's obviously people who do terrible things. But the difference between a vegan and a non-vegan is that we include non-human animals. And that's it. And that therefore leads to eating a vegan diet, wearing vegan clothing, skincare products, you know, all of those material things, right, are a manifestation. They are called actions. So the actions that you take is reflected in the consumer products that you buy or use or borrow or whatever, that you recognize the moral personhood of animals and you refuse to take part in the exploitation, even peripherally. Even peripherally, this is what a lot of people don't understand as well. They're like, oh, well, I dumpster dive. I'm going to dumpster dive a burger. And it's like, you have just violated the fundamental rights of animals by doing that. You know, we're in a epic battle. I mean, not, you know, I don't want to use war terminology like, oh, you know, guns and whatnot, but we are in an epic battle to change the paradigm. That is another thing I learned from the abolitionist approach. We have to change the paradigm. And you don't change the paradigm by consuming animal products because it's convenient to you. Even if you didn't buy them or they're supposedly like thrown away, you're missing the point. You know, we are still at the beginning. I'm sorry, everybody. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong, before anybody gets it twisted, like so many people do. When I make these points, I'm not saying that we shouldn't embrace and rejoice in this amazing new information. Well, it's not new, but this, you know, the more prolific information that's coming out about health and the environment. I mean, it's I mean, the environment thing, that was one thing I learned quite quickly, even more than the health thing. I really didn't actually until I saw, because I haven't seen Forks Over Knives, I haven't seen Cowspiracy, I haven't seen What the Health, but I just watched The Game Changers because I'm getting quite into working out, and I really like the trailer of the strongest guy in the world, the one who was the strongest guy in the world. And I thought, oh, let me watch this. And my brother watched it. He's not vegan. And Will watched it. Will's like, watch it, watch it. So I'm glad I watched it, but I didn't, there was stuff in there that blew my mind. I really didn't know that, you know, and I've heard people say, you know, just one little bit of this and animal products and blah, 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 inflammatory and stuff. And I've never really researched everything because that was secondary to me. After I'd been vegan for a while, I realized I didn't have to worry in a severe way about my health. I mean, I didn't know about that, but I knew about the environmental stuff really early on because I was in vegan circles, and vegan circles talk about the health stuff. But as a person who hasn't got a very good track record of treating their body well or avoiding unhealthy things, I've never really, you know, cared for myself in that way. And so I kind of was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I was going to be vegan whether I became B12 deficient or not, whether I became anemic or not. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, I don't need to do this, but I personally was willing to die for my veganism. I'm not saying, you know, that that's what we're advocating for, and I never would, but there's the honest truth between you and me. I was like, I do not care. I am not going back to that because I woke up to the moral person of animals. And the bottom line is, it was making sense to me. The people on the forum were like, I am so healthy. I exercise. I eat out. I'm having this delicious meal. It's so healthy. Come on, you know, wake up. And I was kind of like, yeah, they're making a lot of sense. But I never really paid a lot of attention to the health stuff. I really didn't. And I, you know, I was like, yeah, it's great and everything. But I knew it was true, but I just never really did. But watching Game Changers was kind of cool. But the environment stuff, oh, you better believe I knew it. In fact, my second podcast episode of all, out of all of the podcast episodes, number 2 was about what I learned about the environment, because it blew my mind. I didn't know that. So this is not news. I mean, this is old news. But what I'm saying is, like, to the new vegans who come into it. So when you look at the New Zealand Vegan Society, for example, I went on their, I think it was their Instagram, and there was, I mean, I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled before I saw any mention of animals. I mean, even a picture of animals. And you know what I saw when I did finally find a picture of animals? It was a single issue campaign about, oh, I don't know what it was, rodeo or, I don't know, horse racing or something like that. Very, you know, single issue-y and completely not talking about the vast majority of victims of the 99% of the world who don't go to horse races or race horses or go to rodeo. So I was like, yeah, I mean, and that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they are, they're a business and they're probably a charity and they are not concerned with the moral personhood of animals. They're not. And tons and tons of groups and individuals who are out now are not at all concerned with the moral personhood of animals in their advocacy. It has almost zero part of their advocacy, almost nothing. And I'm meeting these, so in the last 10 years, or 11 or 12 years, or whatever it is, which is not a very long time, but there's been a lot of change in my country since that happened. So it's been this quite exponential kind of thing that's happened in my country. And in the beginning, when I used to feel this unbelievable sense of frustration and just disbelief was when I was arguing with welfarist vegans who were all about the victims. Welfarism's all about the animals. It's all about the animals. But it's so speciesist. I mean, it's just so wrong-headed, and it was just I mean, it's just perpetuating the, you know, perpetuating the property status and entrenching them in the property paradigm, making people feel better about eating them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that was the thing. Now what I'm finding, or what I started to find a few years ago, and is even worse now, is you've got these people who have also abandoned, who have abandoned the moral personhood of animals. I mean, the welfarists do not include the moral personhood of animals in their advocacy, because you cannot say that you recognize the moral personhood of someone who you are perpetuating the status of slavery upon, and who you are doing welfarist approach. That is the antithesis of the moral personhood. So the welfarists don't do it. The abolitionists do it, because that's the core of the theory. That's the core of veganism, which is the core of abolition, right? But then you've got these newer vegans who either they're newer, or there's a lot of people who are opportunists. I mean, people are looking for stuff to make money off, to get famous off, to get a niche into, to become the top of, to become the popular of, and that's just the way it is. And and there's this big wide open thing called veganism now. It's not veganism, because it's just about diet, but it's about a vegan diet. And so what I'm finding is, this has been happening for a while, but there are these people who are like, I reject welfarism. I am not a welfarist. I think that welfarism is wrong, but I only focus on health and the environment because it's just the best way in. What they're saying is, they're looking around the world and they're saying, wow, look at all of this stuff. You know, people are eating a vegan diet. There's all these vegan options that are coming out in the Western countries. You know, anyway, I'm not sure what's happening. And I mean, I'm not even talking like, I'm even like, I don't know. I don't want to talk. We have to make a difference between, what's the word? It's like a first world, like the countries in the OECD versus a country that is not a third world country, but is not in the OECD. Or like, because if you're talking about countries like Iraq or something like that, I mean, and Syria, I mean, the latest statistic that I heard was that 85% of Syrian children have PTSD. So just wrap your head around that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about that. But what I'm talking about is, I can only talk about what I'm seeing around me, because this is where I am. And so they're seeing this, you know, and all these documentaries have come out in the last few years, haven't they? What the Health has come out. Forks Over Knives has come out. It's gaining traction. The knowledge is taking hold. I am not saying this is a bad thing. I just to set the record straight, I'm not saying it's a bad thing that people are waking up to the health benefits of a vegan diet. I am not saying that that is not part of vegan advocacy. I am not saying that that is not important information to share with people. What I'm saying is to these people, so these people are saying it's useless to try to talk about animal rights because nobody's interested. But what they are interested in is not getting diabetes or having a heart attack. So I'm going to do that. Or, you know, what they are interested in is not ending up 6 feet underwater, you know, because of global warming, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to focus on that. And it's easier, they're saying. And they're looking around them and saying, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon because that bandwagon's taking off. And then they look at us who are saying, what are you doing? Why are you abandoning the animals? You know, we have just gotten started with this. I mean, I shouldn't say that because there are long-term animal rights advocates probably listening who are like, what the hell you mean just gotten started? I've been doing this for decades. But what I mean is the abolitionist movement, which exploded when Gary Francione's website happened and he went on Vegan Freaks. That's 2007. Right? So that's only 13 years ago. It's young. And it has made a huge difference, a huge difference. And I know there are, I do also know, I want to say something positive. I have seen tons of young activists who come out who are all about the moral personhood of animals, who are all about animal rights and nonviolence and justice. And there's so many more. And, you know, it's great. But this podcast is just to try to express something that I think we need to be cautious of, all of us, because it is very easy to be swept along. Like what I talked about in my last book, I was like, oh, they're leading us down the garden path and blah, 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 blah. But we're being swept up in this thing. And we can just be like, watch the game changers, woohoo, and all this stuff. Well, there's zero mention of the victims and the game changers. I have not seen, and it's just about, it's only about diet. It's only about humans. The game changers is only about humans. And what are we in, you know, why are we doing this? If you convince someone about the moral personhood of animals and what that means and what that obligates them to, guess what? They're going to eat a vegan diet. So they're going to get all those health benefits and they're going to have that lesser impact on the environment. It's a win-win. But we don't overlook the victims. And everyone's like, oh, you got to, you know, you got to go in the back door and then you can da-da-da-da mention the victims. And I'm like, to me, I mean, we all know how I feel. I think I've made that very clear over the last 150 whatever podcast episodes. But what's my cat doing? Hold on a second. Hold on. Chevy? Sorry about all that noise. No eating the plants on the windowsill, please. To be very careful. She ate a toxic plant last year and it was my fault. Anyway, so you have to be very careful with the domesticated animals who live in your home. You have a responsibility to them. And we're just these blundering species as humans. It's just so, so wrong. But so it's just a word of caution. I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing that this is happening. Of course, it's a good thing. What I'm trying to say is, like, look, you have so many non-vegans out there advocating a vegan diet because they are very knowledgeable. They're scientists, they're doctors, they're athletes. They are already doing it. Let them do it then. They're doing it. And you can use their research shamelessly. I mean, I have no shame in saying to people, like at the stall, we're going to be doing our street stall tomorrow. We haven't done one. I never did one after my last podcast because we were like, it's going to rain. And then, of course, it didn't rain. But it was one of those days where you just think it's going to rain and then it doesn't. And then you're just cursing it out. And then we just haven't done it. I've had a little bit of holiday, but I was really, really, really burnt out after just so many years without a holiday and then just the end of the year and stuff. But also, it's been extremely windy, like such the windy summer, and there's nothing, like the street stall in the wind is exhausting and frustrating, and it's just awful, but I mean, it's always windy, but when I say windy, like a street stall in the wind, I mean like people who don't live in places like this don't have any idea how just awful it is. But we're doing it tomorrow because we haven't done it, and it is better and it's easier to manage, so we're going to be doing it tomorrow. And I'm kind of glad I saw the game changers. I'm going to be like, I'm going to say to people, you know what, I do recommend you watch a documentary, you know, about the health, but let's get back to the moral personhood of animals. You know, that's why I'm here. If you're here to talk about diet, that's great, and I will give you help and stuff, but I'm not here to talk about your diet, you know, diet. I'm not, what am I trying to say? I hope you understand what I'm saying. We're losing sight, and it's very easy to get swept up in it. Because now, unlike years ago, well, as a person who's done a street stall for 10 years, not every day for 10 years, but over a 10-year period, and has seen the paradigm shift that's occurred in those 10 years in her city, I can tell you that I was getting swept up in it, because now people come running over and they say like, oh, I saw, you know, What the Health and oh my gosh, cholesterol and la 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 la, and give me recipes and stuff. And then we're not talking about the animals, and I'm like, so I do say to people, I do really, really try, but you can get so swept up in it. And then vegan options and like, oh, I can have a hamburger and I can have this and that and it's vegan and it's yummy. And there's vegan cheese, and now Domino's has a vegan pizza, and Hell has a vegan pizza, and everybody has a vegan pizza, yay! And I'm like, that's great, you know, that's really good. Okay, fine. But what are we here for? What are we here for, people? It's not, I can't help that there's just still the vast majority of vegans who will do anything but focus on the moral burden of animals and the difficult advocacy that that entails, because that is about ethics. That is about morality. It's a touchy subject. We have to do it, people. We're the only ones who are going to do it. If we don't do it, who will? Nobody, that's who. Nobody. So let the vegan let the non-vegan vegan diet eating athletes and doctors and scientists and researchers and all of those people focus on this whole health thing and use the information that they're providing. Yay, hallelujah, thank you. I mean, I was living, walking, breathing proof that it was healthy, but whatever, fine. And the environment thing, well, that's just a whole big mess anyway. But it just makes sense. I mean, just look at the abolitionist approach pamphlet. The animal rights pamphlet from Gary Francione's website talks about that. Talks about the six, animals consume six times more proteins than they produce, and it takes this many gallons of water, and la 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 la. It's there, it's in black and white. And yay, nowadays we can, you know, we have a little more backing, and we can sort of say, you know, there you go. But the problem is these huge, environmental groups, these Extinction Rebellion in them, are useless. I mean, they don't even... like, they downplay veganism. It's ridiculous. So, you know, the environment thing. But the environment, and I had an argument with someone who was like, it's not humanocentric, it's biocentric. Well, yeah, okay, true. If you care about the environment, then you're helping animals who live in the environment, not just humans. But the environment thing is so humanocentric. I mean, it's all like, what is Extinction Rebellion? It's all about humans. So let's, those of us, if you claim to be an animal rights advocate, and if you are vegan, and I mean vegan, not just eating a vegan diet, then I think you have an obligation to battle it out with those of us to try to keep that the topic of the vegan conversation. And we have all this peripheral stuff that's going to help us. You know, it's great. It's nice not to have to keep talking about the China study. You can just point to like these documentaries that are actually quite well done in terms of health or whatever. And people are becoming educated about that. So that's great. That's actually going to make our job easier. I'm not begrudging that, but it's not animal rights and it's not the moral personhood of animals. And those victims are still going to be skinned for their skin and wool and put in zoos and circuses and things. And yeah, I know that, you know, if someone goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bang the table. If someone goes vegan for, like, if someone eats a vegan diet for ethical reasons, like, they're like, oh, maybe like me. I mean, I didn't know about a lot of stuff. I didn't know about silk, you know, for example. And then, you know, they turn onto the moral personhood of animals and say, I'm not going to eat them anymore. I'm not going to take baby's milk. And yeah, then of course, when they learn about leather and wool and stuff, they're going to transfer it. It's the point. But the point is that the starting point of their choosing to not partake in animal exploitation, even if it just started with diet, is an ethical and moral position based on the fact that these animals are not things, they're persons. It's so wrong what we're doing. So we can't get swept up. It's so easy to get swept up because it's so positive, all this stuff. Someone comes running up and they're like, I'm vegan, I love vegan ice cream, and you know, I love the Beyond Meat burgers or whatever the heck they are, meat whatever free, and I can't believe the pizza, and oh, I went to Domino's and I go to restaurants with all my friends, and I'm like, yeah, I'm happy for you. But are you a vegan or are you just eating a vegan diet? Do you know about the rest of it? Let's talk about that. And then especially non-vegans who come up, who have questions, I'm not saying you don't give them information about the health and the environment, but you're an animal rights advocate, right? I mean, that's what my stall is about. If you're about vegan diets, then okay, you're out there and you're part of that. Okay, fine, but do not come onto my page or, you know, sort of come to us and be all like, you're doing it wrong. You know, you should be doing what we do, because we get way more ticks and way more pats on the back and we get way more people like jumping on board. Well, first of all, I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, I think that behavior change is challenging no matter what. But what I'm saying is that you're not an animal rights advocate. And you actually, if you're calling yourself an animal, if you knowingly omit that from your advocacy because it's easier and you think that it's more accessible to people, Why is it more accessible? Ask yourself that. Is it because you're not actually telling them to make any fundamental change? Is it because you're not educating them about morality, which is a tough thing to be educated on? And I know that it sounds really pretentious to say educating. It's just information giving. That's what education is. I was educated about veganism because people talked to me about it and they gave me information and they answered my questions. That's what we're saying. So, you know, yeah. So I feel like it's just so tempting to let the discourse be, because this is it's really cool in so many ways. Like, oh, there's a vegan this and a vegan that, yeah, you know, all this vegan options and woohoo. If you live in a country where that's happening, where it's exploding like it is in New Zealand right now. But remember that it's more than a diet, and that animals are used in all kinds of horrific ways. All kinds of horrific ways. Not just food. I know the vast majority is food. Fine, you know, if you do, and I have said before, like, no matter what you do, like, we keep our focus on the moral personhood of animals, but we spend the vast majority of our time talking about animals who are used for food because it is the vast majority of usage, and it's the 7 day a week, 3 times a day, 24/7 usage. I mean, so is clothing, and you know, so is like cleansing, you know, skincare and stuff. But the bottom line is, yeah, but we do it from the ethical point of view, and we always remind people it's not a diet. And when I meet people who say, you know, I'm vegan, I always, now I'm like, are you vegan or do you eat a vegan diet? There's a difference. And don't be scared to do that, because people appreciate it. I've had people say to me, oh my goodness, I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that. From now on, I will say I eat a vegan diet. And I'm thinking, and I say, well, why don't you just go vegan, and then you can say you're a vegan and really mean it. But the bottom line is, it's an educational thing as well, to say to people, there is a difference, you know, between someone who is not vegan, who eats a vegan diet, and someone who's a vegan, because vegan is about the moral personhood of animals. They are sentient beings. We have no right to exploit them, you know, and yeah. So, it's so easy to get swept up. It's so easy to get swept along in the tide. And what I want to say to these people who are like, it's the only way that we're going to convince people, I disagree. I don't think it's going to be lasting change, unless you can tap into, let the people who aren't vegan who are already doing that stuff do it. They're very qualified, believe me. They're doctors, scientists, athletes, you know, bodybuilders, people who've come back from heart disease and diabetes and all of that kind of stuff. They're very qualified to do it. What are we qualified to do? Those of us who've read Gary Francione's books and who've learned the abolitionist theory, and that, you know, people think that means you didn't think for yourself. Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if you go to university and you read books and you learn stuff and you get a degree and then you go out into the world and you apply that knowledge, nobody says to them, oh, you never thought for yourself. Well, sometimes people do. They say you've been indoctrinated. But the bottom line is, you're thinking critically. I mean, the key component of Gary Francione's work is to get you to think critically. That is why he engages in all these debates. Read the animal rights debate. Then, if you're not into just reading the one-sided, you know, the example, read the animal rights debate. Watch the debate with Bruce Friedrich. Listen to the debate with Eric Marcus. I mean, that is the number one. Like, that is my number one go-to for people. I'm like, listen to that debate. If you think that it's just all about swallowing a one-sided, homogenous, like, thing and not thinking critically. I thought critically about it. That's why I came to the conclusions. Anyway, this is like a stupid, I'm not even going to respond to that anymore. It's just a cop out. It's just a way for people to try to put you down, because they just, yeah, it's silly. But anyway, so that's just, please, you know, those of us who, if you are someone who is vegan, and you are devastated about the knowledge that you've learned about what happens to other animals, what we humans are doing to them, and then you look around and all your friends are like, let's just talk about diet and health and we can't talk about that stuff, even though I went vegan because of that stuff. Other people are not going vegan because of it. Therefore, you know, we have to do this. And it's like, you're just taking the easy way out, because of course it's an easier conversation to have with someone. I want you to be healthier. You can lower your cholesterol, rather than, hey, animals feel pain. So when they're in the slaughterhouse, they're going through absolute agony and you're paying for it and you're causing it to happen. Of course, it's an easier conversation to avoid that, but we can't avoid it. We're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. I'm sorry. That is wrong to avoid that. Don't avoid it. Don't get swept along in the easy way. And by easy way, I don't mean most effective way to help animals. I mean the way in which you can continue to promote speciesism, basically. It is not the easy way for the animals. And I mean, like I said, even at the end of this documentary, where the facts were astonishing and they showed the effect of one non-vegan meal, it was still a reducitarian thing, because it's like, you can't tell someone to change their diet overnight. You can't tell me what to eat. So just go one meat-free meal a week. But when you're talking about ethics and you're talking about sentient beings, that doesn't apply. And the thing is I know I can't force someone to do it, but I am an animal rights advocate. Why am I going to compromise the victims to make things easier for myself? I have an obligation to the person I'm talking to be straight up with them as well, and to tell them what I really feel and be honest and say, this is the deal. You can like it or leave it, and they can like it or leave it, but I did my job. That was my job out there. And you know what? That is what's going to change the fundamental way people view other animals. Okay, and then they can have this really painful awakening where they suddenly realize this terrible system of exploitation they're involved in, but then they can be comforted because they can look around and say, wow, it's actually, I'm going to be healthy and I'm going to have more energy and I'm actually going to be having less impact on the environment. That's great, and I'm not saying to omit that information, okay? So let's make this year the year of abolitionist advocacy, once and for all. Let's create a wave, a tidal wave of our own. Well, we already have. We've created one, but let's keep it going. Don't get taken down the current of this sort of stuff. Please. That's my plea, because then you're leaving me all alone out there, and that's not fair. Don't do that to me, okay? No, I know tons of people aren't, and it's wonderful. So so happy new year, everybody. Wish me luck tomorrow at the stall, me and Jeff. I think maybe we will do a podcast episode together again, talk about the stall. I hope you enjoy that stuff. I think it's better than just my boring old voice, so we'll try to do that. Happy New Year 2020. Let's make this the new year of the abolitionist approach movement even more. Let's dominate the discourse and the conversation with our moral personhood talk. And I'll be back soon. And the music is playing in the background because I forgot to mute it, but it's about to play for real this time, because I am signing out. And ciao for now.